Today will be one of the most important programs you've listened to in a long time because I did the work of getting a hold of Ben Shapiro and Joe Rogan and a guy named Douglas Murray to find some interesting clips that present how these expert debaters are influenced and influence other people based upon great arguments. And I show you how the apologetics that we need to apply is a biblical concept. In the Bible, I show you where Peter himself says that everyone, every believer needs to be prepared to give a defense for what their hope is. And that word defense is apologetics. And one thing I don't apologize for anymore is when I learn something from my guests on the show, I practice them. And when I practice the products that I taught you about, Annabelle and I are like, you know, we utilize them. And one of them that really changed my life is this whole thing about hydration. I realized that a lot of the problems with cognitive clarity, with energy, with a host of issues has to do with we are underhydrated. You could be drinking water and still not be hydrated. You know why? Because there's certain electrolytes and minerals and like certain types of salt that need to be in the water. I'll never forget, years ago, I was at this Wild Health Summit where a Persian doctor was saying he could eradicate high blood pressure with the proper dose of salt and water. I thought, well, sodium is supposed to drive your blood pressure up. And lo and behold, the right kind of sodium delivers the right kind of electrolytes and minerals that get absorbed into your system so that when you drink, you actually aren't thirsty, you're hydrated. Two times more electrolytes than anything else. There's a leading drink here that is like the most, it's better than any kind of sports drink that's out there. It's got a multi-collagen advanced hydrate formula. What I can tell you is this multi-collagen, which has like 10 types of collagen, 20 grams, 10 types of superfoods. This I start the day with instead of coffee. I literally, when I travel on the road, I put it in a baggie. That's how much of a fanatic I am. I carry it with me in my luggage, and I put a little funnel together on my desk. I just did it today, and I put it into a bottle of water. You know why? This hydrates me. My mind gets clear. Bam! I'm able to function. You got to get a hold of this. Go to ancientnutrition.com/Lance and use the code THIRSTY20. That gets you 20% or more off. And you can join me in hydrating at first thing in the morning. And by the way, it's got a delicious berry taste this week. ancientnutrition.com/Lance. Use THIRSTY20 and you can join me in the hydrating experience. Now, I was watching some great and extraordinary conservative debaters lately, because I really think we're in a period of time when you have to be thinking about how are you going to communicate what you believe. Everybody's got opinions, but you notice that a lot of the problem I've got with these youth that are in the campuses is they've been indoctrinated, but they haven't been taught how to think. They've been taught what to think. There's a great Bible verse I want to give you right now. I think it's appropriate. It's from Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you go to verse 15, he says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you, and do it with meekness." And the argument here, going to give you some Greek here, it's fascinating. The word for giving a defense for the hope that is in you is the word apologion, or where you get the word apologetics, that you should be prepared to give an apologetic or a lucid, coherent discussion about why you believe what you believe. And the other word here that's fascinating is to give a defense to everyone for the reason. That word for the reason is the word logos. It's the biblical word for where you get the word from, or a conversation, a coherent, communicated sentence. Put it together, and it says that everyone should be prepared to give an apologetic in a coherent way for why they believe what they believe regarding their worldview, which is one that creates more hope. That is, that there's a better outcome that comes out. That word hope there means I have an expectation that based upon this apologetic and the logos, so the argument and the lucidity of what I'm communicating, that this will produce the following outcome. That's the essence of, from the first century persecution till today, what makes up great communicators that are marshaling their thoughts. I want to give you a sample of a couple of those that are on the front lines, and you need to listen to them. Let's start with Ben Shapiro. Ben is on fire with the subject regarding the funding behind the insanity of the support for terrorism and Hamas and Jew hatred in America. And it's tied in to these same people that are supporting Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. So let's go ahead and listen to what Ben says.
So why is Joe Biden doing this? Again, the polling data does not support what he is doing. As a matter of politics, it is incredibly stupid to steer away from the center where Joe Biden needs votes. The answer is he wants the cash. He is being paid by the same exact people. His campaign is being funded by the same exact people who are funding all of these protests. As Politico points out, the donors include some of the biggest names in Democratic circles, George Soros, Rockefeller, Pritzker, according to a Politico analysis. Two of the organizers supporting the protests at Columbia University and on other campuses are Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now. These are both radical groups, and they're both supported by the Tides Foundation, seeded by George Soros, and was previously supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Soros declined to comment. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation said it no longer has active grants to Tides and does not support JVP or If Not Now. David Rockefeller Jr. sits on the board of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. In 2022, the fund gave 300 grand to the Tides Foundation. Tides has given 500 grand over the past 5 years to Jewish Voice for Peace, which explicitly describes itself as anti-Zionist. Jewish Voice for Peace is a front group that is directly aimed at destroying the state of Israel with a few nutters in the Reconstructionist Jewish movement or unaffiliated who bring out their as a Jew card every so often so that they can say terribly anti-Semitic things, and then people will ignore that they're saying terribly anti-Semitic things.
It's fascinating to me how the left creates these groups. I mean, even the diversity, equity, inclusion, and why we accept their labels. It's like a sign of massive stupidity that people don't politically rebrand what is being presented so as to expose what it really is. The Jewish Voice for Peace, think about that, is actually helping to fund and organize the radicals that are for the annihilation of the Jewish people. And because they've got their, like he says, the nutty, listen, isn't Soros Jewish? I'm always wondering, what the heck is he? That you must, there must be mean so little to them to be Jewish that they're utilizing the name in order to be a cover for being able to do vast damage to other people. And of course, claim that it's anti-Semitism when they're attacked while they're promoting anti-Semitism. You see the ingenious setup that this has right there. But the I want to go take a look at Michigan right now, because we're going to go to Michigan on the 19th. You can go to thecouragetour.com. We're going to be doing some massive rallies in these particular swing states, mobilizing the people and mobilizing people of faith in order to understand what they can do to protect their own state from this kind of radicalizing. Watch what's happening in Michigan State.
They are hoping to build a new Democratic Party on the back of the radicals. And Joe Biden is too weak to actually do anything about it, which is, again, political malpractice, because you can see that nobody likes these people. At University of Michigan, for example, they held a graduation over the weekend. And pro-Hamas protesters showed up to try and disrupt. And here was the crowd's response when those protesters were removed. The police take these people away, and everybody's very excited, because it turns out no one likes these jack. No one likes them. They think they're bad people because they are bad people, and they believe bad things.
And it's so interesting. So some friends of mine had a banner that flew over the commencement, and it says, Jewish Lives Matter. We figure if Black Lives Matter can invest in that kind of great branding, why don't we just learn from the left? And so we had a Jewish Lives Matter banner flying over the stadium. We're at an interesting juncture in time when the most absurd ideas can gain a foothold, provided that they're repeated enough and that there's no truth spoken. Mercedes, a recent poll reveals that Gen Z voters embrace this anti-Semitic, anti-Israel ideology more than any other generation. It doesn't surprise me, because I think it was like 25 or 30% believe that they're gender fluid or they're buying into the LGBT trans argument. So the Gen Zs I worry about. The Bible does talk about a generation of young that actually grow up to be fierce and despisers of those that are good. That's the language. But the poll reveals that 42% of Gen Z voters believe Israel's campaign against Hamas and defending itself as unjust. 42% believe it's unjust. 33% of Gen Z percent don't believe that Israel has a right to exist as a nation. And 40% say that even though Hamas is attacking the Jews and killing them, they are not a terrorist group. So, and this goes to the 1,500 participants, 495 of them between 18 and 24, believe that young adults seem to be governed by this oppressor versus oppressed mindset. And by the way, this is how it's sold. It's sold that Israel is has got a better standard of living than people in Gaza, and therefore Gaza are the oppressed and the Israelis are the oppressor, which is ironic because the Jewish people have been a persecuted and oppressed people group from the beginning of time. And the Nazi Holocaust is ignored completely. And so there's this idea of oppressor versus oppressed mindset, which is a pure Marxist worldview that frames things so that if you are the oppressed, even if you're guilty of something, you actually are justified because the oppressor is at fault. And it's how this could take root is you keep coming back, Mercedes, and saying it's a parenting issue. And I have to say, yeah, but I think it's also an education issue because parents that don't get involved turn their kids over. And the people parenting your children are actually the radicals from the National Education Association, which is largely dominated by females that are radical leftists.
I think it's a lot, though. I mean, it's an indoctrination issue, and it certainly starts well before they're in college. I mean, you just listen to the music that's out there. I mean, I have to stop songs at times, Taylor Swift songs, stop them, and then have a conversation with my daughter to say, do you hear what she's saying here? This isn't what God thinks about. You know, I mean, all sorts of stuff, all sorts of topics, especially as a Christian parent, the level of indoctrination that's happening. And like we talk about, you know, Aaron Lee, and her whole story, just in middle school, indoctrination happening with her daughter that was convinced that she was really trans in an art club, quote unquote, after school. So it's happening 24/7. It's in almost every show now. I mean, right now, I don't know if you've noticed, but like when I was growing up, Glee was like the main show, you know, in like high school, college or whatever. And, you know, the integration of a gay couple into that, how that's happening now, every show's got a trans in it. I don't know if you've noticed, but I feel like any show you turn on these days, you're like, is that a guy? What is that? And you like look it up on IMDb and sure enough, you know, it's a trans actor. And so it's just a level of indoctrination. I think the hope side to it though, Lance, I don't know why I'm like that person on the show today, but when you're so confronted with the counterfeit and with what culture's trying to sell you, which is like this bill of goods, right? When you're confronted with the authentic and the real and the living God, a really true transformation happens at a fundamental level where you haven't grown up with religion. You haven't grown up with a false Jesus. You've grown up with nothing. So that when you encounter the real Jesus, you are radically transformed. So that's a trans agenda I can get behind, is people becoming Christians. But those are my thoughts.
Well, you have an important point. And I think that the thing that is interesting to me is watching the trend of the awakening. And I believe an awakening is actually taking place. And it's the early part. You know, most people miss this. But when an awakening is taking place, whether it's first great awakening or second great awakening, they come at a time of the crucible or the time of the fourth turning. We had it in a Revolutionary War. We had it in the Civil War. Our great awakening actually happened post-World War II in terms of the surge of faith in America. It's statistically verifiable. Church attendance was up to like almost like 75% of people affiliated with some kind of church in the period after the war. And I think that there's something in the history of the United States that says that right about now we're first having a civic awakening, but its roots are really going to be revealed in history when you look back at it as a spiritual awakening. And that's why it's so tragic when you find Christians have been indoctrinated in staying disengaged because it seems to be divisive to have strong moral positions. When in fact, the reality is there is a spiral of silence that is allowing the darkness to expand because all that it takes is for brave people to speak up and it's silenced. We're going to come back and cover that in a little more detail. I want to take a moment to talk about the volatile financial time that we're in. And I want you to empower yourself with knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Visit lancewalnut.com/birch and get a free information kit consider discussing how to shift your 401k or your retirement account into a tax-sheltered gold and silver account. Why don't you go to lancewallnow.com/birch right now and take action for a secure future. This is going to be the best part of the show right now. Guarantee it. Real live coverage. I love watching independents like Joe Rogan, who are basically fed the left-wing line. And then because he does these long-form interviews, his guests will actually push back politely. And Joe, to his credit, will actually update. Now, I don't know if you catch the update here, but it was an aha moment for him, just as it will be for many of you, because you're going to be armed now with the apologetics when you're in the battle with the person who is uninformed. The person with the information automatically leads the conversation. Listen to this.
When you're killing 30,000 innocent civilians in response to something that killed 1,200 innocent civilians, and you're continuing to bomb an area into oblivion, that is at least the steps of genocide or a form of genocide.
So when you say 30,000 civilians, it's not 30,000 civilians that have been killed, though.
How many thousands have been killed?
So according to Gaza Health Ministry, which is run by Hamas, the number they have is 32,000, but they don't distinguish between Hamas and civilians.
How many members of Hamas are there?
40,000, something like that. I don't think the number is known, but it's tens of thousands. So Hamas says 32,000 people have been killed, civilians and soldiers. Israel says 13,000 soldiers have been killed by Israel. So let's not doubt either number. They could both be inflated. But if both of those numbers are accurate, which they may or may not be, that would be 13,000 soldiers killed, 19,000 civilians killed, which for urban combat in the Middle East is a very normal ratio. It's very distinct from genocide, because genocide is when you're trying to maximize civilian casualties. I think Israel, however imperfectly, is doing the opposite. They're trying to minimize civilian casualties.
That's interesting.
This is the way I would put it, succinctly. If you ask the question, what is unique about this war? What is different about this war than all other wars? It's not the civilian death toll. The ratio of combatants to civilians is, I think it's better than the American armies was when we got ISIS out of Mosul. That was like 10,000 civilians dead to kill 4,000 ISIS. This is 19,000 civilians dead to kill 13,000. What's unique about this war, unlike every other war that I could think of, is you have an army in Hamas that has perfected the art of embedding itself and meshing itself with civilians so that you cannot hit them without hitting the people around them. Other armies have done this, but none have perfected it to the extent that Hamas has.
So what you have with Hamas is you have like hundreds of miles of tunnels so that they could embed their military assets under schools, hospitals, mosques. Why? Because for Israel to attack, they would have to be attacking the school, the hospital, the mosque. You could almost take those most sensitive assets, and Israeli intelligence right away wants to go do the underground surveillance and say that's probably where the hostages are being kept, and that's probably where the highest command Hamas leaders are. And now what they've done is they rolled that back all the way to the final phase, where all of the hostages and all of the high command are in one segment of the Gaza Strip. And Israel says, we are now poised to go in. They drop leaflets down, get the heck out of here, you civilians. We don't want any casualties. We're coming in. And at that moment, Blinken and Biden make sure that they put the screws to the machinery and break it down so that Israel cannot protect itself. And, you know, I just got enough of that old school Pentecostal theology that believes that when the United States hurts Israel, the United States itself incurs judgment. And my prayer is that it will be judgment against the regime that is interfering with Israel's survival and not against the United States, because we are a divided nation. And may God in heaven see that the enemies of Israel are the enemies of the United States. That has to be understood, because these radicals that are on the campus calling for the destruction of Israel are actually part of the Democrat apparatus that is keeping Israel from protecting itself. So I want to play just a moment here on my segment of the great polemics. So then my theme here is, listen to the great debaters, the great persuaders. And notice that this fellow here, Coleman Hughes, he isn't ranting and raving. He isn't pounding his fist. He's very meekly, coherently giving his defense. This is exactly what Peter says as the church was coming into its first century turmoil dealing with Rome and its persecution. Be ready at all times to give an apologetic to everyone for the reason or the logismos, the logic of your hope. Be prepared with an apologetic to be logical, because truth is so powerful versus, the mindless chanting of Marxist sloganeering. So let's go to Douglas Murray. He's going to have a debate here with Senth Unger. Senth Unger is one of those oddities, is that he is a famous YouTube and social media left-wing progressive who is totally unpersuadable. And it doesn't matter, and unlike Joe Rogan, when he hears information, it bounces off of him like he's impervious. So this is a guy whose mind is made up before the conversation and cannot be persuaded. It's just, there are people that are like that. They're literally so taken captive by their thinking that they can't hear. And Douglas Murray, who has written some, powerful best-selling works like The Strange Death of Europe and The Madness of Crowds, really profound work. Here, I want you to listen to him as he is with Piers Morgan having a debate with Senth Unger and Iger, and you're going to listen to, it's 2 minutes and 44 seconds, but I don't have enough time to give you the whole juicy tidbit. I'll have to cut it off at some point. But listen to Murray as he makes a response.
At least 8,000 children have died, more than the death tolls of Pearl Harbor, September the 11th, and Hurricane Katrina combined. These are gigantic and horrendous numbers of children being killed. Do you not have any qualms about the number of children being killed? I mean, does it not suggest that Israel...
I want to hear Queen Rania talking about this as much as I want to hear Queen Camilla or Meghan Markle. I mean, it's pathetic. Queen Rania is holding on to her own position in Jordan. The only piece of advice she has for anyone is how to marry a king. Queen Rania herself is just playing a very nasty political game. If she cared at all, and I would pose this to all the states in the region, if Jordan cared at all for the Palestinian people, they would take them in. Egyptians wanted them, they'd take them in, but they don't. Do you know why? Because every country that takes in the Palestinians gets terror. It happened in Egypt, it happened in Jordan, it happened in Syria, it happened in Lebanon, it happened in Tunisia, on and on. That's why these people don't really care about their fellow Muslims. They just care about hating Jews.
All right, Cenk, your response.
Yeah, so you asked if he cared about 8,000 dead babies, and his answer was no. Queen Rania bothers me, so a complete non-answer, because he doesn't care. He doesn't think that Palestinians' lives are worth anything. He just called them all terrorists.
Well, it's nice you can put that word into my
mouth. And this is what they always do.
There you go.
So hold on, I let you talk for a long time, so why don't you shut up for a second? So we've got all of these dead babies. We've got all of these dead babies that this monster doesn't care about. He says keep bombing them. A former intelligence officer said in the Israeli press they're using AI in a program called The Gospel, where he said it's basically a mass assassination factory. And we could all see it with our own eyes. And you can do all the propaganda you want. No one believes your nonsense. We see all the dead women. We see all the dead children. Now Israel has killed 20 times the number of civilians that Hamas killed. So would I want Hamas in charge of Israel? Never, never. I don't trust them, and I don't believe that they would be benign. So all of this propaganda about, mind Hamas. No, we mind.
So you're hearing the debate, but because you got the information, which Douglas Murray didn't have in terms of Coleman Hughes' data, the response that he could have gave was that you have 19,000 civilians, 13,000 soldiers, which is a lower ratio of casualty than the United States had when it went into Mosul and had to take out 4,000 ISIS and 10,000 civilians were actually the casualties. What it tells you is that Israel is attempting to not have casualties. The part that Sankunger will never accept, and Douglas Murray will emphasize, we had time to show it to you, is that Hamas is the only army in history that wraps itself with civilians so that when you go to attack them, you're going to kill two civilians for every one of them that you get. They have structured it so that they're putting the lives of the innocent at risk. That's the Hamas strategy. And so the data is a powerful thing when you have it. We got 1 minute here. Go to the second segment with Murray. And I want to finish up with a minute of this.
He's a kind of low-grade thug, as far as I can see. He's listened to nothing I've said.
Yeah, I know, because I'm Muslim. Monster. That's what you call all Muslims.
I'll tell you. No, it's racist. Not that at all. It's not that at all. I just think that you're just a very low-rent racist. But anyway, let me just get on to it. You say, first of all, I don't care about the death of Palestinian children. Yes, I do care. I care very deeply about it. But I also know that the responsibility for their deaths lies on Hamas, which has misgoverned their society for the last 16 years and now has been leading the country into being in a war with Israel. So, yes, it's on Hamas, this. As for seeing wars, by the way, I just mentioned about seeing wars because, as far as I can see, you're very ill-traveled as well as rather ill-lettered and ill-spoken. And I mention that I cover wars and go to wars because I happen to think myself that it's worth seeing things with your own eyes, including things that you don't particularly like, but you report the truth. I don't know if you ever even leave your own bedroom. And I can tell already that you don't because you've already said something that demonstrates you know nothing about this conflict. You have just demonstrated it in the following terms. You said that this is why we need to push for a two-state solution and give legitimacy to the Palestinian Authority. I'll tell you something you don't know because I guess you spent no time in the West Bank, have you? I'll tell you something you probably don't know. The Palestinian Authority, Fatah, celebrated the 7th of October massacres. I'll give you another fact which demonstrates you know nothing about this and clearly haven't ever visited any Palestinians in the West Bank as I have. If there was an election tomorrow in the West Bank, the reason why there isn't one is because if there was an election tomorrow in the West Bank, Hamas would win. So your idea of a two-state solution, I'm afraid you are so out of date and you really should leave your bedroom. Because in this region, nobody thinks that there is a two-state solution on the table because there is not a viable negotiating partner. But I just want to make one other main.
It could go on. It's a fascinating thing. And I don't like having this kind of a stressful exposure like that. But you've got to see the front lines is going to be manned by people that are able to articulate opposing viewpoints. And you're going to have to be informed if you're going to be part of that process. Well, that's where we're going to have to end the show right now. And I'm going to be back again tomorrow. We're going to pick this up. And you're going to see that truth is prevailing. And gradually and progressively, we're seeing a victory on all fronts. We'll be back again tomorrow.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0. Not only that, for a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Lance to save big on all of Mike's best products. That's promo code Lance. Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.